are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Tirade on the way. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkowi Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Yeah, I know. Crazy cultural cacophony. We're going to take it on. We've been doing so social media-wise. We'll do it here live as we take on the Comey Russian hacking hearings of yesterday and President Trump's quick-trigger Twitter fingers. Live tweeting during the hearing and getting it all delusionally wrong with alternate facts. Ouch. And today, the Supreme Court hearings for the tainted president's pick. Tainted pick, but it looks like Neil Gorsuch is going to sail through SCOTUS. We'll see. Talk about all of that inspiration to action challenge success stories, and we'll pay homage to two greats we lost, legendary rocker Chuck Berry and tough guy journalist Jimmy Breslin. That's all coming up. Love to get you in the mix, too. Are you listening live? It is Tuesday, March 21st. Happy spring. Feels like fall, but, you know, we're all mixed up with the seasons these days. 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Hey, that 24/7 Twitter tango, you know about it. Dance when it works for you. Live or on podcast at AB Writes. And the Facebook page is open, so says our social media maven Aurora and our producer Trudy Hart. They're in the booth waiting for you. And also our, what else is open? The PopNet chat box. Yeah, we haven't done this in a couple of days. Getting out of sync here, but we are doing that. And where are we going here, Trudy? Do you have my thing lined up for me? Yes, you do. All right, so, hey, grab yourself a cup of joe, and let's go, because we got no particular place to go, but we'll get there as we open things up with the late, great Chuck Berry. Welcome aboard. It's our Coffee Clatch. I'm Amy Beth Arkowi Show.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile, I was anxious to tell her the way I feel. So I told her softly and sincere, and she leaned and whispered in my ear. Cuddling more and driving slow with no particular place to go. Place to go. So we parked way out on the Kokomo. The night was young and the moon was cold. So we both decided to take a stroll. Can you imagine the way I felt? I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along in my calaboose, still trying to get her belt loose. All the way home I held a crush for the safety belt that wouldn't budge. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. We'll be right back.
on the Amy Beth Arkley Show, and that's Overgotten 45, and Sniffing the Tears. The news may be blue, but you're in the driver's seat. And the great late Chuck Berry, who we lost this past weekend at the age of 90, one of his iconic tunes, No Particular Place to Go. Boy, he started that whole darn thing, didn't he? This thing called rock and roll, that raw, rough, joyous, rebellious sound that we've all come to know and love in its various forms. It started really with Chuck Berry. It really did. I mean, yes, of course, the Beatles and Bob Dylan and the Stones would have all come along, but would they have been the same without him, without the Shakespeare of rock and roll, I think, has been his moniker dubbed by the great Bob Dylan. Some call him the architect of rock and roll. He kind of felt like he never quite got his due. He was overshadowed, I guess, by Elvis and later the Beatles and the Stones, but they all loved him. And used his music and paid tribute to him. His protege, Keith Richards, had a kind of dicey relationship with him. It's documented in that documentary, Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, Chuck Berry. He kind of got persnickety. He had his moments. Interesting, I just read an article this morning talking about how very few female musicians have indicated that he was an influence on them, with the possible exception of Patti Smith. And they go on to say this is probably because he had a pretty complicated relationship with women and a sketchy track record. He was, in fact, convicted under the Mann Act of, I guess, statutory rape. It's basically bringing a minor over the border of a state border for immoral acts or reasons or whatever. You know, it's dicey. In those days, it was the early 60s. I'm not condoning it or sweeping it away, but there were some, it was two times he was tried, there were some racial implications with one of the judges, so, you know, I don't really know what goes into some of that stuff, and I'm not discounting it, and you take the good with the bad with everybody, of course, but the music is the music, and it's there, it's kind of hardwired into our souls, and certainly I came along well after this was considered an oldie, but I was old enough to remember back in the 70s and 80s when they still played stuff from the 50s and early 60s on the radio on the oldie stations. They don't do them these days, you notice? They're up to the 70s, I think, now, but that's why it's so great that we have things like satellite radio and the internet and podcasts and people who keep this music alive, because it is the heritage. And he started it. He had that swagger, boy. He had that thing and a great sound that kind of got into your soul. And maybe, yeah, the songs, the little cinematic hit record pop rock songs that he wrote were filled with cars and girls and freedom and the American dream. And maybe that spoke to teenage boys more than girls. But later on, it becomes part of our cultural lexicon, and it's there. Boy, oh boy, he's there for sure, and influenced oh so many. Music lives on, and he took on musical icons while he was in the early days, like one known as Beethoven. Roll over, Beethoven, and while you're at it, tell Tchaikovsky the news. Remembering Chuck Berry on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Local DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over, Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over, Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rockin' pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I caught the rolling off the rider sitting down at a rhythm review. A roll over, Beethoven, they're rockin' in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up, just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another roll over, Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. She wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. A roll over, Beethoven. A roll over, Beethoven. A roll over, Beethoven. A roll over, Beethoven. Dig to the rhythm and blues.
kick against modern jazz. Unless they try to play it too darn fast. I lose the beauty of the melody until it sounded like a symphony. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me. I took my love on over across the track. They had a jubilee. Them Georgia folks, they had a jamboree. They're drinking homebrew from a wooden cup. The folks are dancing, they got all shook up. I started playing that rock and roll music. Any old time you use it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, get to hear them play a tango, and in the mood they kick a mambo. It's way too early for the Congo, so keep a rockin' that piano. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old time you use it, it's got a black beat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it,
buckle up, kid. It's about to get a lot weirder.
Yeah.
USA, routing out a Chuck Berry triple play on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show with Linda Ronstadt's version of the Master's tune. The Fab Four, early days, taking on Chuck Berry's rock and roll music, and yeah, the Beatles covered it, ELO covered it, others did it too, but nobody quite does Roll Over Beethoven like the man himself, Chuck Berry's original. Remembering the great legend, passed away at 90, but that music, it lives on and on. Thanks for rocking with us, Chuck, and leaving us all this great music. It is the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. Love to hear from you via Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505, should you find yourself listening live on this Tuesday, March 21st. Our PopNet chat box is working, we're told, and we got the Facebook page open, too, as folks are taking on the cultural cacophony and all its various dins. Lots of noise out there these days. We'll start with the Facebook page where Mike says, here is an extended rant that is angry, vulgar, and yet fact-based. It's also articulated. He says it was articulate. It was shared by a friend who thought it was too raunchy to share widely, but I find it too on target not to share. And it basically asks this question, what will it take to convince the millions of Trump voters, especially the remaining 37% at last reading, who still support Don the Con? Yeah, can you believe he's down to 37%, unprecedentedly low approval rating for a president at this point in his presidency. What will it take to get these folks to finally realize they have been had and join the rest of us in trying to shove his ample keister out the door? Here's an excerpt. He says, you embraced his every childish taunt, his every 3 a.m. Twitter rampage during the campaign, thinking them hilarious, brave, profound. How about now that he should be governing yet is more distracted by wars with Nordstrom and Snoop Dogg? Is he making you proud by acting like a 12-year-old boy with his first cell phone? That whole swamp draining thing? Well, he's surrounded by white nationalists, climate deniers, liars, and fellow millionaire billionaires. He loudly derided Hillary for giving a speech to Goldman Sachs. You booed and hissed and wanted her head, but he has surrounded himself with former Goldman Sachs employees. All right. What will it take, indeed? Not to mention, they don't mention in this rant, the fact that we found out officially during the hearing with FBI Director Comey yesterday that the Trump campaign, Trump and his cohorts, are in fact being criminally investigated for collusion with the Russians and have been since last July. Hey, wouldn't that have been nice to know back in July when we were talking about Hillary's emails and he had to come out a couple of weeks before the election to talk about how they confiscated Anthony Weiner's laptop and maybe some emails sent to Uma Abedin, his estranged wife, might have been inflammatory towards Hillary. And then he came out and said, oh, wait a minute, nothing to see here. They were all redundant, nothing new, nothing incriminating. But we didn't talk about Donald Trump. So, yes, people are decrying Comey now as some sort of a hero. But really, is he? Because he definitely swayed the election in some ways, or his actions certainly hurt as much, maybe more, than Vladimir Putin and the possible collusion with the Trump campaign. Now, we say possible because, yes, I know, Adam Schiff was great. I don't know if you watched some of the hearing yesterday. I certainly did watch parts of it, in masterfully laying out all these people, all these connections, from Roger Stone to Paul Manafort to Carter Page, on and on, connections to the Russians, meetings with the Russian ambassador, and things that Mike Flynn, of course, and all these things. And then he said, well, it could be a coincidence. It's possible. It is possible it's a coincidence. Where there's smoke, there's not always fire. And they may not be able to prove it. I think it's just like with people who thought O.J. Simpson was guilty, but he was acquitted. You might believe something is actually true, and you might believe these people may be guilty, but proving it may be a whole other kettle of fish. So we don't know for sure if anything will ever be proven. But there's something there, and there's been an investigation ongoing for months now that we didn't know about. Now, there was a hint of it. I believe there was a hint over the summer where they talked about it, but then they put it down, and the FBI certainly put the kibosh on. They said they can't talk about it, and they kind of swatted away because we were so preoccupied with Hillary's emails, for goodness sakes. And now, of course, there's a whole bunch of email issues with Mike Pence and other people affiliated with the Trump campaign. That's another story. So Hillary's emails seem quite banal now that we're in this situation where Vladimir Putin may, in fact, have installed a Manchurian candidate into the office of the presidency, and a lot of Republicans don't seem to care. I think a lot of Republicans on the Senate side do, and we're hoping for people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio to be true to their consciences and work this. And other Republicans will come around, especially if Trump's approval rating continues to dip. But besides the fact that, of course, he decries it on Twitter, it's all fake news, and CNN got the polls wrong in the election, so they're wrong here. They weren't really wrong in the election. They got the spread right, because Hillary did win that popular vote by close to 3 million votes. They just, unfortunately, the Electoral College didn't break the way everybody had predicted it would. But that's the election, and nobody's trying to relitigate the election, by the way. I mean, I never heard somebody who won the election complain so much about how everything was so rigged. He won, he's there. The question is, if it's tainted, and if it's illegitimate, seriously illegitimate, not just by this Electoral College vote business, but by the fact that there was some collusion, that's called treason. And some heads are going to roll, and I suspect they won't be Donald Trump's. He'll put somebody else under the bus. They're already doing it with Paul Manafort, who is most suspect, or one of the most suspect folks with his connections, certainly with the Russian oligarchy. He put out a statement himself saying he had nothing to do with Russian officials. Yes, maybe not officially officials like Vladimir Putin, but people affiliated with him in the business world in Russia, for sure. And those folks were all crooked. You call it, nothing compared to the crooked Hillary business. Again, projection, deflection. Everything he says about somebody else, he really means about himself and his own cohorts. Think about that and remember that. Same thing with, you know, blaming Obama with this surveillance, which they put the total kibosh on yesterday. Not true, not happening. And he's tweeting in real time, which is amazing to me, and coming out with this alternative reality when they're not even saying what he's saying they're saying. And they actually called Comey on the tweets and said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not there. That's not what we're talking about. How long can the great American gaslight go on? I mean, that's the question. How long can that 37% of folks who still approve of him, his base, his solid base, the folks that would support him even if he shot someone on Fifth Avenue, are those people going to stay with him regardless? Are they going to stay with him when he takes away their health care? Are they going to stay with him when there are no new jobs for them? What is it in for? At what point do they say, hey, yeah, we were conned by this guy, and all the signs were there, and even with all the signs being there, I still feel for these folks. I do, and I feel for all of us, because we're all in this together, unfortunately. We got stuck with this guy. We got rooked, and people took the eyes off the prize, and a lot of folks opted out of the election who are now up in arms. And maybe we'll learn something from this and get our act together for the next round. But unfortunately, elections have consequences, even tainted elections. I mean, we're going to get this guy, Neil Gorsuch, who, by the way, I saw the part of the hearing. He comes off very affable. He comes off very qualified, erudite, smart. It's probably going to be hard not to vote for him or not to get him through. I mean, he's going to get through, I think. And what are the Democrats going to have to say about this? I mean, he's qualified, yet he may really go to the point of being even at the right of Scalia. We don't know what happens. They're all cautious in these hearings. His track record speaks to some disturbing ideology that may seep in. And, of course, there is that other question, which is looming large, that the nomination itself is illegitimate because it should have been Merrick Garland's seat since the Republicans held that up. But what do you do now? Because elections, even tainted elections, have consequences, and we're stuck with it. So I was derailing this all through the campaign. A lot of people were. Some people weren't, because people weren't concerned. They really thought Hillary had it in the bag, but they weren't enthusiastic enough about her to go out and vote for her or fight for it. They just figured, she's going to win anyway, and this is what happened. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but he comes off pretty impressive in the hearings, and it's going to be hard to not see them seat him on the Supreme Court. And that may be a shame, and we may have repercussions for decades to come thanks to this illegitimate election, possibly illegitimate election of Donald Trump. And it looks like we're heading in that direction. What will come out of that? I don't know. We'll see. I want to hear your views, though. Twitter feed is AB Wright's. Phone line is 347-857-4505. Tia says, this is what prepping for impeachment looks like. Actual statements made by Sean Spicer yesterday, calling Michael Flynn, this was classic, a volunteer of the campaign, and Paul Manafort, who headed the campaign for months and constructed the convention for sure, played a very limited role for a very limited amount of time. Again, we are working in this universe of alternative facts, and for folks who feel sorry for Sean Spicer, I do not. The guy should have quit months ago. The first time that he was told to go out there on Inauguration Day and say we had the biggest crowd ever and lie and get red in the face and jittery, that's when he should have said, you know, I made a mistake. I can't do this job. He has had to go out there and spin out of control things that President Trump puts forth and try to put it over on people when he knows it's a lie. I mean, he'll say things like, well, it's a belief the president has. He's believed it for a long time. I mean, it's beyond funny at this point. He's ruining his career, I think, his credibility, and it's the credibility of the American people, the American, you know, America that's at stake. I mean, we look like fools in front of the world, insulted the British, had to walk back a statement that President Obama enlisted the help of British intelligence to spy on Trump. That has already been debunked. It's a non-apology apology because he can never apologize. And when he finally has to apologize or admit that he was wrong, he'll just say, I was given wrong information. I mean, it took him 5 years to finally say President Obama was born in the United States, and he just read a statement and then just said, I stopped it, I ended it, that's it. No apology, no nothing. He still managed to win. And this is why I have a problem with folks who voted for him, because they disregarded it. It's not that everybody who voted for him is a bad person or thinks the way he thinks, but they disregarded all his nonsense and all his garbage that came out of his mouth for years, for decades, not just during the campaign, but his whole history, to say it's not that bad. Hillary's email situation is worse, or we're just tired of Hillary, or I like the guy's style, and this is what happens. This is what happens. This is what we got stuck with. So I'm not surprised. I'm surprised. I mean, he's as advertised. He's just worse than advertised and faster and spending money on his own security like you wouldn't believe. The vacations, the Mar-a-Lago visits, how much money are we spending millions of dollars each weekend? $183 million a week to support Melania and Barron in Trump Tower, and now they say he may not, in fact, move. She doesn't want to move to the White House and send the kid to school in Washington. And so we're going to have this forever. We're on the hook for big money while we're cutting money out of Meals on Wheels for seniors. And we're taking money away from after-school lunch programs because there's no proof they work. That was what this guy, Mulvaney, the budget director, said the other day, right? That they don't work? Well, they do work. If you're providing food for people who need food, that in itself works. Whether they do better in school or not, and I think there are a lot of studies that show they do, but whether they do or not is irrelevant. I mean, to take away health care from people who need it, by giving tax breaks to people who don't need the tax breaks and giving bonuses to insurance companies, this is not really helping the people who voted for Trump. And I think Trump said on an interview on Fox News last week, with Tucker Carlson, I think it was, where Tucker Carlson posited this and said the people who are going to hurt the most from this health care bill, they're going to lose health coverage or pay more, are people that voted for you. And Trump said, yeah, I know, and moved on to the next topic. This is outrageous. Now, I know they're tweaking it now, and they're going to push it through supposedly on Thursday. The whole idea is to push it through because they want to say they did it, but what is the point? What good is voting for something that's worse just to say you did it? We repealed Obamacare, but we made it worse. How is it helping people? And are you not going to come back to haunt you later? This is my point. I don't get it. What's your take? 347-857-4505 on the phone line, and, of course, the Twitter feed is a 24/7 proposition at AB Rights. I don't know. You got to keep supporting your Mr. Big stuff. Hey, yeah, it's Unite. We got to do it once in a while. This one for Carly. I mean, we've got the free show.
The big stuff. Who do you think you are? It's the big stuff. You're never gonna get my love. Now because you wear all those fancy clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And have a big fine car. Oh, yes, you do now. Do you think I can?
Hacker Ivan spying my ass off.
Every click you make
Each sick day you fake. Every porn site break, Instagram you take, I'll be watching you. 'Cause your password's lame, your mother's maiden name.
Really?
No, I will not fail to read your email, I am watching you. No need to be Facebook friends with me. I can always get the name of your first pet. We spied on Hillary. We hacked at DNC. And we told those freaks down at WikiLeaks everything we knew. Here in Moscow, we have got no laws. You're in our sights, we're just like Santa Claus. Know about bromance between you guys. Sad to say, I know your real bra size. And you lied on Match.com, Tommy. I know where you've been. I know every sin. And considering I've been listening, it's time to change your pin.
Cross your fingers, men.
Many doors it only makes you more impeachable. And when someday we can say you're fired and you go away, you may have thought you were unreachable, but history makes some moments teachable. Someday Pence may be impeachable too.
The great Noel Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary fame, and Impeachable on the Amy Beth Arkley Show, his take on all things Trumpian these days. You talk too much, Not So Forgotten 45 from Joe Jones for Lynette, and Tim from the Twitter feed. Thanks for chiming in. Do appreciate it. Capital Steps taking on the whole Russian hacking thing, and G-Knight, Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? He thinks he's invincible, the Emperor, no new clothes. He looks in the mirror, he sees a 35-year-old in great shape with great hair. That delusion persists the way he looks at the world, I'm telling you. Hey, that Greek grab, by the way, continues. Did you hear Ivanka, his daughter, is getting her own office in the West Wing, no official title, but she's going to do something there, and allegedly no salary. Of course, he had no salary either. He was going to take $1 a year, but guess what? He's still getting paid. Now they say he's going to refund the money at the end of the year. Yeah, you go look for it, indeed. Meanwhile, we're spending, oh, so much money on the security, and he's making money on the whole deal because we're paying. He's like, essentially, the government is paying him for his own security, taking up time. And, you know, Trump Tower, we talked about this. It's nuts to me. It's nuts. Although he has dropped a couple of spots off the billionaire list in Forbes that just came out today. So being president maybe it cost him a couple of bucks, a couple of shekels, and lots of sleep. And his pal Howard Stern said he never should have done it because he's not equipped mentally for this. In fact, Deepak Chopra, the inspirational, motivational doctor, has chimed in. I think he's been talking about this for a while, but it came out today that he said he really needs to have a psychological or psychiatric evaluation. Yeah, a lot of people said that. No dice, I don't think, but we'll see what happens. It goes on, as I said, we have to cope with this, and it comes down to policy. The guy is, as advertised, just worse and sooner than we thought. Coming unraveled, as I say. Twitter feed is AB Writes. If you're listening live on Tuesday, March 21st, you can hit me up on the phone line, 347-857-4505. Facebook page and the PopNet chat box also open. Katie via PopNet says, hey, good show, like your insights, and the music helps. But Trump, off the train, I think he will get impeached. Don't know when, though. Yeah, I don't know. It could take a long time, Katie. It might happen, but the seeds are being planted. It's early. We're 50-plus days into this thing. It seems like we've been here for 50 years, doesn't it? I mean, it just feels like forever. Boy, do we miss Obama or what? Even George W. Bush is not so bad compared to this guy, right? It's just nuts. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens on the whole impeachment deal. But questioning, that's for sure. Jordan on Twitter at AB Wright says, why should POTUS, who is under investigation for treason, be allowed to pick our next Supreme Court judge? Yeah, I've been saying that too. I don't know. But unfortunately, even tainted elections have consequences. And by the way, if it wasn't Trump, it would be Mike Pence, so we would still get that right-wing agenda in place, maybe even in greater form. But I still take it, because honesty, integrity, it does matter. And it seems like Pence has that in spades above Trump. At least that's what it appears at this point. But we'll see what happens. The Big Easy says, Gorsuch is rock solid. They cannot go wrong confirming him. See, a lot of people think that he's good, and he comes off good. I'm telling you, I saw it, and I don't know that I would agree with his ideology, but, of course, he's saying he's a judge, and that's the way it goes. Left-wing nutjob, on the other hand, says, we will find out that he is willing to lie in order to become a Supreme Court justice for life. Ginny says they all lie to get what they want to do. Well, yeah, unfortunately, since Bork, nobody really tell the truth, but they do have their own track record, and his track record is a mixed bag. There are a lot of cases where it looks like he went more with the corporate right-wing agenda, but there are some cases where he went for the little guy. So I don't know. You know, you have to get the read on it. But I'm telling you, the way he's presenting himself, they're going to be hard-pressed not to put him in place. That's just my initial take. I don't know. What's yours? Twitter feed is AB Wright. Phone line is 347-857-4505. Yeah, we got the Facebook page open and all that good stuff, too. As I said, I keep telling you that. Yeah, I'm just wondering, when these facts get in the way and they become oh so inconvenient in an inconvenient time. Here's a great one from Nancy Griffith on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
It's an inconvenient time. It's an inconvenient time. of inconvenience. Compassion fails me with this meanness in the air. City streets are filled with violence. So we close our doors to the city and pretend that it's not there. Here I go again, back out on these mean streets. The eagle seems to cling to the soles of my feet. Cause I'm living in a time of inconvenience, in an inconvenient time. We're living in the age of communication, where the only voices heard have money in their hands. Greed has become a sophistication. You ain't got money, you ain't got nothing in this land. Here I am, one lonely woman on these mean streets. The right to life, man, has become my enemy.
This song was inspired by a scene out of The Grapes of Wrath. So I kind of wrote it with John Steinbeck, only he was dead at the time. But
the scene was a small roadside cafe. The waitress was sweeping the floor. Two truck drivers drinking their coffee. Oaky kids by the door. How much are them candies? They asked her. How much have you got? She replied. We've only a penny between us. Them's two for a penny, she lied. And the daylight grew heavy with thunder. Smell of the rain on the wind. Ain't it just like a human? Here comes that rainbow again. One truck driver called to the waitress. After the kids went outside, them candies ain't two for a penny. So What's it to you? She replied. In silence they finished their coffee, got up and nodded goodbye. She called, hey, you left too much money, so what's it to you, they replied. And the daylight was heavy with thunder, with the smell of the rain on the wind. Ain't it just like a human? Here comes that rainbow again. Ain't it just like a human? Here comes that rainbow again. Thank you.
Sometimes boy, do I love that song. Here comes that rainbow again. On the Amy Beth Arkwe Show and Nancy Griffith, Time of Inconvenience. A man who worked his way around a time of inconvenience and brought the little guy to life in the pages of daily newspapers, Jimmy Breslin, passed away. The ultimate quintessential tough guy columnist. All that grit of New York, that brash, bold style that he embodied in his life, in his work. Boy, did he do a lot of work. I think he came to fame in the early 60s, having interviewed the gravedigger at President John Kennedy's funeral, and just brought a lot of people who didn't have a voice to life, painted those great word pictures in his columns. Was a pivotal figure in the Son of Sam serial killer case back in the 70s, because David Berkowitz had sent letters directed to Jimmy Breslin. Some people gave him guff because they said he was capitalizing on it, but he said he was doing it at the behest of the police because they thought they would ferret him out sooner. It was a real tough, contentious time back then. But he did so much to help so many people and brought people to life, certainly influenced lots of writers, including myself, in terms of a personal style to nonfiction, to daily newspaper writing. And he also wrote novels. He had a great work ethic. He had that tough brash. What did he say to people? He would get up early and call around asking people his sources, what's doing? That was his famous line. He passed away. Had a really interesting life. Started out hard scrabble in Queens. His dad left the family at a young age. When he was young, his mom was an alcoholic. He said he invented and reinvented himself so many times. There are about 67 Jimmy Breslins. I think he was quoted as saying, explore other people's stories to sort of get away from his own. Fascinating life, one worth living for sure. Thank you, Jimmy Breslin, for all the great work that you did and the imprint you made on society and journalism. Impressive indeed. You got to embrace those talents, use them to your best while you can. With that in mind, the Inspiration Action Challenge, success stories are pouring in. Want to give a shout out to Howie in Leonia, New Jersey, who writes in, been doing the challenge on and off for about a year or so. Really enjoy your show and your insights. Good style. You make me feel good and better. Doing the challenge helps me get some discipline going as well. And I'm embarking on a memoir, some tough ground to cover, and I think you've given me the tools to try, at least, to get there. So thank you. Well, thank you, Howie. I appreciate the heartfelt words. And, we're all trying. It's all about trying and doing. And I know you have some hesitancy there. Nobody wants to commit to saying, I'm definitely going to do it. Just embrace it. Just go for it. Do the best you can and keep at it. And please keep us posted. If the Inspiration Action Challenge has worked or is working for you, please let me know. It's an active thing, of course, ongoing. Love to give you a shout-out. I also think you help spur other folks on. If, on the other hand, you need some cajoling, you want to get started again, you feel like you might be in some kind of a creative drought, let me help you. I can water you a little bit. Reach out. We'll get a conversation going. First one always on me. We'll give you a primer on the challenge, some other tips and tricks. The website is the best place to go. It's AmyBethArkwe, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. Give me a few weeks to connect, and we'll try to put you on a more creative path. And while you're at the website, you can peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mysteries, other goodies, all up for grabs for ebook and paperback. You can also chime in for your guest suggestions, big story, and forgotten 45 requests. As they say, the one-stop shop at the website, AmyBethArkwe.com. And easy access, again, via the Twitter feed. Anything on your mind, reach out via Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505, because lots of stuff to talk about, like, what's the matter here, for goodness sakes? What's going on?
Young boy. Don't know what's going on. You've been away for far too long. You can't come back and think you are still there. You're out of touch, my baby. My fortune's got a baby. I said, baby, 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 you're out of touch.
baby, 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 you're out of time.
The girl who wants to run away discovers that she's had a day. It's so good you're thinking that you're off your man.
You're out of touch, my baby. Baby, 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 you're out of time.
You thought you were a clever girl, giving up your social world, but you can't come back, be the first in line. Oh no,
you're out to need my baby.
Working at the mill, never fail in the mill, yet come a rotten bill. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a creek, say you can buy it, go on, try it, you can pay me next week. Ah, too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Good looking, trying to get me hooked, want me to marry, get a home, settle down, write a book. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved. Same thing every day, getting up, going to school, no need of me complaining, my objections overrule. Ah, too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved.
Hey, the great late Chuck Berry and his classic on the Amy Beth Arkoui Show. The proteges of the great architect of rock and roll, the Rolling Stones, Out of Time, and the Maniacs, 10,000 strong, asking, what's the matter here? Yeah, there's lots of the matter in Trump land, that's for sure. And a couple of folks retweeting a couple of tweets that didn't exactly hold up too well over the last past months. Phil says, this one didn't hold up. This one didn't age well. We can't trust anything he says or does. And they replayed the Kellyanne Conway tweet from back in October before the election when she wrote, most honest people I know are not under FBI investigation, let alone two, implicating Hillary Clinton, while a lot of folks didn't realize her boss, the current prez, was under criminal investigation at that time for the Russian hacking and collusion possibilities. Mm-hmm. And Lucy says, Sarah Huckabee, a retweet of a Sarah Huckabee, we don't have the date on this one, though, the Sarah Huckabee, another flack for the Prez. Her tweet was, well, she says, can I get the lotto numbers? Next week is fine. No, you're busy Putin out the fires. And she retweets Sarah Huckabee's untimed tweet that said, imagine if a Republican presidential candidate come under FBI investigation as votes were being cast. So that obviously was sometimes during the election, too. Comes back to bite you, ladies, doesn't it? You know, part of me does feel sorry for some of these folks that are working for Trump. On the other hand, they signed on. They knew what they were getting into. And if they didn't, they can still get out. The exit door is always there. You're not a prisoner, Sean Spicer. So for those who feel sorry for him, Spicy is causing his own problems. He's sabotaging himself every time he walks out there and says this and spins himself and his head around and says crazy things. He could exit, write a book, get a gig on CNN. They're always hiring ex-Trump campaign folks. It's crazy. Hey, Patricia says, we deserve an independent commission to investigate Trump, Russia, and the conflicts of interest. Maxine Waters, the great Maxine Waters. Boy, she's holding steadfast in the Congress. We need people like her. She says, get ready for impeachment. And Patricia retweets her, indeed. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. Holy smokes, Trump, Russia is going down. This is the word of the Lord, so says Jesus freaks. Mm. Remember when a lot of evangelicals said that God orchestrated this and wanted Trump to be president because he can work through anybody. Maybe he's punishing us. We don't know. But work on it, folks. And what I say is be vigilant. You know, you got to hold your representative seat to the fire. Let's look for a turnaround in Congress in the midterms. And you got to fill the gaps for the folks who are going to slip through the cracks, unfortunately, with some of these draconian measures, with budget cuts and health care. If these things come to pass, and again, hopefully there'll be some resistance in the House and the Senate, and even Republicans with good consciences and political concerns, because when they see Trump's numbers plummet. The interesting thing, though, is he still has very high numbers among Republicans. It's like 88% of Republicans support him, but only 37% overall in the country. So it's interesting. At what point would the Republicans finally say, hey, this isn't good for us either, politically or socially? I mean, there's something going on in this country that isn't good right now. I know Trump tries to say in his lackluster way on the campaign trail, he did that rally in Kentucky, and boy, did he look weathered, didn't he? He's reading from a teleprompter. They just showed a little smattering of it, because it's funny how the times are changing with the cable networks. They just give him a passing glance now that he's president, but when he was campaigning, they would every time he burped, they would show it. And, of course, they're rewriting their own history, because we all have alternative facts now. But complicit, yeah, they were in electing this clown, this con man. You know, he's got his base, I guess. They're still under his sway. I don't know what will it take, as we started the show with. I don't know what will it take for people to realize that this guy is conning you and duping you, and it's not going to happen for you. It's going to happen for him and his cohorts. It's a real greed grab. But there's some cynicism there. I mean, he talked about how there's a great spirit in America. I don't feel it. I feel there's a malaise now, because a lot of people feel very down, and people who voted for him feel rooked. And those of us who knew all along it was going to be bad feel even worse, because we see it's even worse than we thought. And it's getting out of control, and he's getting out of control. And there's just this idea, though, that it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. People have a right to have this kind of social safety net and take care of each other. And maybe it does mean we have to fill in the gaps. I know back in the day when it was Poppy Bush, you know, H.W. Bush used to say the points of light. Well, we have to be the points of light for each other, I guess. So let's work on that together. Let's come up with some ideas, you know, here in our, you know, social media, podcastlandia, blogosphere area, whatever, and do it in our own communities as well, on one-on-one basis. Find things that you can help, where you can help, and where you can be that light, because it'll make you feel better, and it will also help people, and it's all part of that whole thing, because we're all in it together, this great human soup. So let's work on that, shall we? I think we can do that, right? In the meantime, what are your diversions? What are you watching on TV these days? I know the This Is Us finale left a lot of folks cold, including myself. I started out loving that show, and now I have a lukewarm. I still like it, but there, you can feel the sentimental manipulation going on, and the finale was a real bust, I think. So they got to pick up the writing for next season, but I'm into beginning. At the beginning, we'll see how it goes. Certainly not as stellar as the promise of the early seasons, but it's tough, and it depends on the writing so much, because the acting is good. So it always comes down to the writing. If it's good, you don't get that much credit. If it's not so good, you can feel it. And as a writer, I know that pain. But good acting can elevate. If it's mediocre, it definitely can elevate, that's for sure. But what I do really enjoy these days is Feud. It's the new one by Ryan Murphy, the guy that did Glee, an American Horror Story. It's the story of Bette Davis and Joan Crawford while they're making Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I'm not sure how long it runs. I guess it's a, you know, a one season deal. But about three episodes in now. It's fascinating. It's Jessica Lange as Joan Crawford, Susan Sarandon as Betty Davis, perfectly cast, great stylish, great supporting cast. Judy Davis is fabulous and funny as all get out as Etta Hopper. Alfred Molina is Robert Aldrich, the director. I mean, it's just fascinating, interesting setting and the way they photograph it. Check it out. It's FX. Sunday nights at 10, I believe, is the first run. But, you know, these things are on demand now. So if you get it and you love old movies and you like that cult classic, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and the idea of the old Hollywood feuds, this one you're going to love. Trust me. Take it, you know, watch it. And let me know what you're watching and what you're up to as well. We're going to wrap things up, I guess, in a couple of minutes here. So if you want to sign into the show, you know, you can follow me on the on Twitter at AB Writes. You can follow the Amy the Dark Show at the BTR site, also on Mixcloud and Stitcher, iTunes, NetNow. Select editions on PopNet and the Arts Radio Network. All roads lead back to the website, amybetharkowy.com. Hey, you can also, I said you friend me on Facebook, right? Yeah, we can set you up with updates there. Friend our producer, or follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter, at Radio Trudy. And all that good stuff. We'll get it together. We will. I know times are tough sometimes, but you got to think on the positive side and do your part and live your dreams, and all things will work out for you and for those you love. Think about it that way and be positive, right? So I hope you... think about that as we say thank you to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML headquarters. Thank you for tweeting with us in real time. Keep it going 24/7 at AB Writes, as we mentioned. And we'll leave you with another one from the great Chuck Berry, because you never can tell. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwood Show. Take care now.
It was a teenage wedding, and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They furnished off an apartment with a two-room, a robust sale. The coolerator was crammed with TV dinners and ginger ale. But when Pierre found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They had a hi-fi phone, oh boy, did they let it blast. 700 little records, all rock, rhythm, and jazz. But when the sun went down, the rapid tempo of the music fell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They bought a souped up jitney, was a cherry red 53, and drove it down to Orleans to celebrate the anniversary. It was there where Pierre was wedded to the lovely mademoiselle. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. The mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.